episode 66 of Drunk on Comics, where we just want to pose the question, what does the fox say?
No.
Ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-bow.
No.
Boop, 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 boop.
That was, like, I don't understand why you actually thought that song was funny.
Does the song, I didn't hear the song all the way, does the song answer the question?
No,
it just makes random noise.
Like, I got 3/4 of the way through it, and I'm like, I can't watch this anymore. Yeah.
So is the follow-up to that song going to be, what does the giraffe say?
No, the follow-up to that is going to be what the singer's next line is would you like fries with that? Because you're not making money off that piece of shit.
Everyone go check it out. It's hilarious. Don't listen to these ass clowns.
Yeah. Hey, guys, welcome to Drunk on Comics. Ass clowns.
Thanks for having me, Derek. Man, feels good to be back.
It's nice to see you again, man.
Yeah, I say, you haven't even seen me in a while.
No, it's been like at least a month. It was kind of the same way with Matt last week.
Yep. I've seen them both more than you, so.
Well, yeah.
I think you're the bad one in this relationship.
There's plenty of blame to go around, guys. Let's just hold hands.
You don't look at me anymore the same. All right, guys, this is our weekly podcast where we talk about comics, we talk about conventions, we talk about collecting, we talk about dingleberries of dorkdom.
Excellent.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah? Did you like the goobers of geekdom better?
Just indifferent on all of that, but...
All right, the nerdly just, nuggets of fun
you
it
just,
is.
Or you just want straight up nuggets.
Would you like fries with that?
All right. Well, we're going to get things kicked off here with Off the Shelf. Off the Shelf is brought to you by GrandCon. It's grand-con.com. Happening in 2 weeks, September 20th through the 22nd, at the Prince Convention Center at Calvin College in beautiful Grand Rapids, Michigan. Go check them out and plan your weekend to come see us because we are going to be there. We do have a little warning that we may talk about things that have happened in this week's books. So if you hear us starting to talk about a book you haven't read yet, hit pause, read your book, come back. Otherwise, you've been warned. Who wants to kick it off?
Not it.
All right. Well, I guess I'll kick it off.
You answered your own question.
Next time I'm just going to go, I'll kick it off.
And then I'll be pissed. I'm like, why are you assuming that I want to go first, dick?
I thought I was an ass clown. All right, this week I'm doing something.
Sorry.
I'm doing something a little bit different here. I'm doing Tart Volume 1, Adrift, which is actually a 3-issue series that is being combined into a trade paperback. Yes, Kevin?
So are you going to explain the different or...
Why it's different?
Or different as in I'm not reviewing Daredevil this week?
Well, there's lots of differences. The biggest difference is that...
Daredevil didn't come out this week.
One Daredevil did, Dark Knight. Or Dark Knights or whatever it is.
Daredevil, Dark Knight. It's the DC Marvel crossover you've been waiting for.
Yeah, no.
Starring Ben Affleck.
Damn it, I hate you.
Sorry, Derek. Tell us what's different.
Okay. Tart Volume 1 is an indie book that all three of the three first issues have been written and are being collected into a trade paperback, but they are not available yet. So it's kind of a preview more than a review. And the other thing that's different about this is that really the only way that you can get these besides finding the creators at a convention, and I think the first time you're going to be able to see it is going to be at New York Comic-Con, is to go on and back their Kickstarter. So, basically, I'll kind of give you a little bit more about that. Kevin, you're giving me this weird look.
Wait, so was this off the shelf this week?
This is off the shelf because you can go get this.
You just got to suck off your local comic book shop owner?
No. No, you got to go back them on Kickstarter. But anyway, so this is like a true indie comic. And I found out about it through Twitter because Kevin Joseph, who is the writer, and Ludovic Salle, I hope I'm pronouncing his last name right. Kevin contacted us through there and then sent an email and asked if we'd be willing to take a look. And we actually do get quite a few of these, you know, requests. The biggest difference is that this one stood out really well because of just how high quality it was compared to some of the other books that we see. I see a lot of good books, but I don't necessarily see a lot of great books. The story here actually centers around a girl named Tart who, she's a time traveler. At the beginning of each issue, she'll wake up in a new time and a new place, not knowing exactly where she is or what it is that she's supposed to be doing. The stories center around her, but she's actually part of a larger collective of people who are constantly trying to fix problems in the time stream. So she may end up in the 1950s here in America. She may end up in the Ice Age in France. She may end up somewhere in what would be our future, but she's fixing these little things to keep the time stream from breaking.
Was France around her in the Ice Age?
Maybe not necessarily known as France. It may have been known as, you know, Icy France, I think was the actual
You're way. So creative on your makeup names.
Yeah. Let's, or, I don't know, how do you say ice in French? Icy?
Le ice.
Le ice.
It's lice, yeah. But anyway, I wanted to bring this up because, I mean, Kevin Joseph did an amazing job at creating a really cool universe and characters who, while they really aren't anything like what we are used to seeing, they still live in a very real world, and he makes it feel incredibly real. The dialogue that he's got in here is very natural feeling. The emotions that he's able to portray through his characters come through very well. And to add on to that, the art by Ludo really gives a very, very nice feel to the entire thing, especially with his colors as well. And I know, Tony, you got to read the first issue so far.
Yep.
But you haven't made it all the way through the rest. Kevin, I know you haven't quite read it yet. Speaking of the art, the entire second issue, Tony, I know you haven't gotten to that one yet. The entire second issue is actually hand-painted.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's not your normal pencil and ink style of art, you know, what we're normally used to. And it does add a whole other layer to the field on that one book. And now, while I personally prefer the standard line art of pencils and inks, it was pretty amazing to see what can be achieved when a different style is used. And to be honest, especially for that story, because that one does take place during the Ice Age, that painted style on a snowy background was gorgeous. Last thing I do want to say about this book is not necessarily about the book itself, and that is more about the Kickstarter. And one of the reasons I want to talk about it, because Kickstarters are out there for a ton of books. This one has some great freaking like rewards for backing it. I actually ended up, I was torn between two. There's one where you can get 4 24 ounce Pilsner glasses, which would be perfect for us, that have the Tart logo on them. Mm-hmm. And then there was one that you can actually get a full color commission by the artist of one of the characters from the series, along with the trade paperback and the PDFs and all this other stuff. And that's the one I went for. It was the $70 level, but I'm like, $70 for a full color commission. You guys know how much I like original art. I couldn't beat that. But the 4 glasses with the books and the PDFs and stuff like that, that's only $50. But there's like a ton of really, really good levels on there. And it's still, I think when this podcast airs, I think there will be 22 days left on it. And it's only like a $3,500 or $3,000 level is all they're trying to get to.
How close are they?
When I looked earlier this morning, they were cresting 2,000, like getting up near 2,000. I mean, they're like 2/3 of the way there in 4 or 5 days. So it should go through without any problem. But I wanted to tell people because they're already looking at, what do you call it, when they go past the...
Kickstarted?
Well, yeah, but like there's like when they go past their pledge level, they start giving out freebies.
Oh, yeah, they'll have other goals.
Like... Yeah, like extended goals, yeah. Or whatever the hell they call it. And so if you're in early, you may be able to get stuff like that. But if any of you guys are interested, go to Kickstarter, look up Tart Volume 1 Adrift, and it will say, you know, Tart Volume 1 Adrift invades New York Comic Con, and that's where they're going to have some of them. There's a lot of really limited stuff on there, but there's still a lot of really good stuff left to get. So I'm giving it 2 huge mugs up. I'm hoping that either Tony or Kevin, maybe you guys will jump in on that $50 level and get some of those glasses so the next time I can drink to it, I can be drinking out of a 24-ounce Pilsner glass. But awesome book. Go check this thing out. Well worth it.
Another awesome book that people need to go check out and we mentioned it before on our show, Love Stories to Die For. From actual friend of the show, Dirk Manning. And I love it says...
Wait. So you're saying Kevin Joseph and Ludo Salé are not friends of the show now?
No, they are friends of the show, but I'm just going on with our whole other real friend, Joss.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Because we have a lot of friends of the show. Some people may not know which ones are real friends. And
well, I actually did, just so you guys know, I actually did get to talk to Kevin, so I would consider him a friend of the show okay. now. But Dirk has actually hung out with us.
Yes.
Yeah.
And not drank with us.
Yeah, well, we drank.
Yeah. But. But I love that this says it's written and conceived by Dirk Manning. Like, he just had this love child here and brewing in his belly and conceived it. But ultimately, this is a flip book, so there are two stories, one on each side, and they are very fucking awesome stories. You read it, didn't you, Derek?
I did read it.
What'd you think of, what was your favorite story?
I liked the Vikings versus Vampires.
I think that was my favorite, but I think my favorite drawing was Bishop Cable.
the guy in the... In the space story?
Yeah, he looks, as you can see, Kevin, like Bishop from the X-Men, but looking like Cable as well.
Which, I was thinking about that. Like, if you mix their names, could we just call them Bible?
Or Kishup?
Well, I was thinking Bible, because the B-I at the beginning of Bishop, and then the B-L-E at the end of Cable, we'll call them Bible.
Bible.
Made up a new name? Superhero.
Yeah, new name for him. Holy Bible.
With an instant fan base?
Sidekick JC?
Oh.
Anyways, getting back to this story. As I joked with you when reading it, I was like, holy shit, Dirk has come a long way on his art. Which, obviously, for people that don't know, Dirk cannot draw really well at all.
He can draw some things. He just chooses not to.
True. This was drawn, the one side was drawn by Rich Bonk, which was the vampires, and then the other side, which was the space one, was drawn and colored by Owen Gienny. So, two different artists, but ultimately I can't even tell which one I like more. Like, the art, it seemed like almost the same person.
You thought?
No, I take that back. I flipped to one page where I was like, yeah, it's kind of the same. I was like, yeah, no, that's totally opposite art.
Yeah, and just for listeners at home, you know, the Viking vampire story was called Bloodlust, Deceiver of the Gods, and the space story is called Symptom of the Universe. What did you think of the aliens?
They were... interesting.
They were awesome.
they're like cyborg type giant. What they remind me of were the Iz from the Max.
What they reminded me of is a terrifying, like, acid trip real life Pac-Man with legs and arms
and lobster claws.
Yeah. Robster claws.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, I was like, damn, those are cool. But I mean, it definitely had that alien feel as far as like the movie, you know.
And it was nice once they, I mean, you really only saw them in one page, but that was enough to kind of get the sense of the dread and what was going on.
Yeah, you saw them, you didn't see them in action. It allowed your imagination to take over, and I thought that was great.
Yeah, and like, I'm trying to do so well with not talking about the book because I don't want to give anything away. It's just one of those books that you just need to read, and you're just like, holy shit, I want to read more of this Dirk Manning stuff. So hopefully Dirk can try to write some more stories for people to read, because I think he's got a shot at maybe making it big somehow.
Well, he does have those other books coming out here a couple weeks from, was it Big Dog Inc.?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
the Oz.
Yeah, the Oz books that he's got going. I think that's next week. I don't know.
So he's got two books that he's written.
Just two.
Yeah. If you guys are ever interested in hearing more about Dirk, we've interviewed him about 37, 38 times now.
Yeah.
So you can go back and check out a lot of those.
We may just call him after this and say, hey, we talked about your book. Want to do another interview? So, like I said, awesome book. People, listeners, definitely go pick it up.
Yeah, and the cool thing about the space story was that it was as much about, you know, the terror of what was on the ship as well as the characters that were there, and probably more so about the characters. In a very, very interesting one shot, you reveal a lot, and both of the stories, I thought, made you think.
Mm-hmm.
So, cool.
All right. Kevin? So, gentlemen, I bring to you here Spawn from Image Comics.
Never heard of it.
Spawn issue 235.
Oh, that I've heard of.
So, this is my first time picking up an issue of Spawn since the 90s. And
probably since issue 2, 3, or 5?
No. You want take a guess what issue I stopped at. I started at 1.
100?
69.
Everybody likes it. Everybody thinks it's funny when you say 69.
Damn, why did I stop at 64? 69 is so much cooler.
Did you stop at 64?
I did stop at 64.
Well, you're like a whole fist away from from getting to the fun part.
See, you got me thinking about the minivan and whatever.
We'll discuss later.
Yes, mental note: we need to bring up the minivan at the end of the show. Okay, so. But really, ever since we had the Best on Tap segment featuring an issue of Spawn, I don't remember what number that was. It was probably 7, 8 months ago or longer. Ever since that, I'm like, man, you know what? I'm going to revisit Spawn. There was a reason why I collected Spawn up to 64. And most of the reason why I stopped with Spawn and everything else is just it was a financial decision that I made in my life. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to find this issue. But it never quite worked out timing-wise. It was either, like, I have to work. I have something else coming up. My local comic book store sucks, and they didn't stock it. But actually, I will pause this normal bashing of my comic book store to actually give them a round of applause. They actually brought in an issue. And I think they just brought it in because I think I asked them about it like four months ago.
it was probably an accident.
it was just in the bottom of the box. Like, oh, it's not in my packing list. Ah, fuck Diamond. I'll just keep it. So
it's going to cost me too much to send it back. Yeah. I'll just leave it sitting here in a pile along these other piles of stuff and somebody might eventually buy it.
So again, Spawn. Written by Todd McFarlane and art by Simon Kudrunsky. Now, before I give my opinion on a book, man, do you know what Todd's been up to lately?
Making toys, working on the script for the Spawn movie.
Yeah, he called me the other day. He was just grilling some burgers.
Yeah, I mean, like, when we went over to his house and, we really weren't at his house as much as picking him up in front, and then we went bowling. And
but what about professionally? I know he's a mean flapjack flipper. Is he?
And that dude gets a wicked arc on his strike ball.
he's just
been writing.
Yeah, really? Okay, because honestly, like when I opened this up and I saw his name as a writer, I was actually kind of surprised. I didn't know he was still doing it. I just figured once he started having his little empire of toys and other bullshit that he would just, you know, give Spawn to somebody else to have doing, and he may have done that for a period of time. Now he's back.
He may have, but I don't remember a time when he hasn't been on Spawn. But then again, okay. I don't.
Yeah,
I don't
none of us read it, but you guys are a little bit more in tune to this shit than I am. So I just needed to know. But again, what a long time it's been, and. So I give a tip of my cap to this comic and comics in general for summaries.
Ah.
I love summaries, and I'm wagging my finger at you, DC Comics. Because, seriously, Marvel, and now, and I'm sure this is the case with a lot of Image Comics, they did a summary, and actually, this summary was excellent. Excellent, because I'm coming in here totally blind.
Yeah, you're cold to this.
Oh, I'm cold like France. So
icy France.
The ice. But without the summary, I would have this. I think this book might have been close to a complete waste of time for me.
Ooh, it was that bad?
No, he's just saying that there's a lot going on here.
Yeah, I really don't know what's going on. So, so I'm going to give everyone who's not familiar with Spawn or those who haven't read Spawn in a while a brief summary of the summary. So, now, do you guys remember the original Spawn at all? What his name was?
There's a new Spawn.
Michael J. White.
Michael J. White, exactly. Yeah. He had an excellent soundtrack.
Yeah. What was his?
Al Simons.
Al
Simons, yeah.
You mean to tell me that's not Spawn anymore?
No, apparently he kicked the bucket or something.
Oh, he was dead, so that's how he became Spawn.
No, he really died. He died.
He died.
He's Uncle Ben.
That's horrible. That's horrible.
Okay, he got Pa-Kented.
Okay, that's bad.
he got waned.
I'll explain where my line was going with there later, but because we can spend an hour talking about this. No, I don't stay course, full circle, all that shit. So so we have a new Spawn, and his name is Jim Downing. So in this issue, Jim is very new to being a Spawn. And right now he is just in this—he's in this limbo, as his costume is being like created again from the ground up.
Okay.
So
who's his tailor?
Rip Torn.
And he throws confetti around. Yeah. Rather than being able to like have all these chains, he has like streamers and confetti.
That's not Rip Torn.
No.
It's, hey, how's it going?
That still doesn't tell me. No.
I'm saying
that could probably be the best impression of the person ever, and I'm not sure.
It's better than your impression.
Dude, I gotta look that up.
All right, but so keep going.
I'll try. But so he's in this limbo. It's called the light. Whatever, it's just limbo. And he's talking to a couple people, trying to figure out what the fuck's going on. Who is he? What does he got going on? Who's the bad guy that he's eventually going to come into contact with? And so that was nice. And actually, I had an entire DC comic binge today, like 4 or 5 hours straight, reading DC. That I had a little backlog, and then I ended with Forever Evil. So part of what I liked about this might have actually been part of because of I was reading Forever Evil, and then I had an excellent introduction to the story. Here, let me read this from the book. We all have given any chance, evil will destroy everything in its path. What makes true evil so dangerous is that it doesn't care if it survives in the process. I don't know, I just something about that just was like...
That's a great line.
I just really liked that, and it sucked me in, and because like I said, I just got done reading Forever Evil 1, which we'll probably talk about at some point, but that was a nice setup, and it got me hooked for this whole book, and man, it's a very heavy dialogue issue. I almost didn't pick it up, because I picked it up. And
you opened it up, you saw lots of words, and you're like, fuck that.
Yeah, oh my god, there's so many words. and look at it, we got a bunch of white space, dudes with shirts off. It didn't seem like something that I would enjoy. But you know what? I wanted to pick up an issue of Spawn so long. I'm like, fuck it. It's in my hands. I'm gonna do it. And I did. And it was a complete payoff for me. I think Todd did an excellent job of telling people a nice story, what's happening in this world, what's coming up. So those who haven't picked up Spawn in a long time, 235, that's the way to go. Now, getting back to that real quickly, the complete waste of time I mentioned, there was one really cool thing that, even if I didn't really, the story and the summary didn't make much sense, one thing I really liked that they did is this little character introduction with a character called Blood, spelled B-L-U-D-D. Ooh, I know. Todd being Todd, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting story of this character who is not only a vampire, but is the first vampire. And
name is Blood, really?
Yeah.
Well, it's true. I mean,
Todd is just so imaginative. I would never have thought of naming my character that's a vampire Blood.
Well, come on, Spawn?
That's a cool name, I think.
Why? Because it's Hellspawn?
Yeah.
Because see, when I hear Spawn, maybe it's because I've done too much river fishing, but I think of like fish eggs.
That's what I think of too. Yeah. Sorry.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But the intro story to Blood is a little bit more complicated than just the first vampire, but it's a very interesting take on a vampire genre. And I don't really know how exactly it will play into Spawn and Hell and all that other shit, but I'm very interested, and I really look forward if they can get the two together soon enough. Team up. No, to actually have a conflict with each other. My only concern is that the story build-up is just going to take way too long, and then by the time anything interesting happens, I'm going to be out.
It sounds like you're at least on board for a while, at least.
If my comic book store it brings more issues in. But yeah, you know what? I really enjoyed Spawn 235.
Nice.
So they explain his new suit?
No, it's growing right now. And he's conflicted about leaving this void that he's in right now, because apparently it doesn't grow as fast if he's in it. Hmm. If he's not in it, the cover is basically he's just gonna have the same suit. I mean, suits haven't changed over the years, because you guys remember
Medieval Spawn?
Yeah, Medieval Spawn. Actually, there's an ad for it in here, the Dark Ages. I mean. The big thing is the cape, because the cape has some sort of mind to it, doesn't it?
I don't know, but I thought Malbolgia made the suits and the Spawns.
Why were you asking who the fuck the tailor was?
I was testing Kevin.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up, I think, for Off the Shelf. Once again, brought to you by Grand Con. 2 weeks. Come see us. Tony. Should we talk about some news?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, I have some news. The first piece of news is that it was Rip Taylor who threw the confetti.
Oh, okay. See, I knew.
And so by some weird coincidence, Rip Taylor Swift, Taylor Swift, is actually, and I can't believe I couldn't remember Rip Taylor when I was looking at. I remember
so many 70s game shows with him in it.
And I don't even know what he ever did to become famous. Anyway.
I can't believe I said who's the Taylor, and it's Rip Taylor.
That is weird.
Yeah.
Who's the Rip Taylor?
Because Spawn suit's all torn and ripped.
So you had something to say about Taylor Swift?
Taylor Swift has been announced to be in a movie, comic book-based movie, of the Secret Service, which was, Mark Millar and Dave Gibbons created that book. They haven't announced who the main leads are, but they announced her.
So maybe she's a lead?
More than likely, that she's going to be...
Who the hell's Colin Firth and Samuel Jackson?
I don't know.
Who are those guys?
I don't know.
I thought, are they nobodies?
I don't know.
Of course, Sam Jackson, he'll be a movie? I'm in. Sign me up.
Yeah. But, oh, I guess it did. Wow, I should read the whole fucking article, huh?
But do some research, Derek. Jeez.
Sam Jackson's in every movie.
He was just mesmerized by the picture on the article. Oh, look at those lips.
No, I was
I want you to write songs about me.
I was more curious about whether or not she actually has to turn her head to look at both ways before crossing the street. Fucking eyes on the side of her head.
They are.
Yeah. Anyway, so, I don't know. She's in the movie. I'm more interested in the fact that they're actually making the movie. So that's that one.
Yeah, you know, I didn't even know about them doing this movie until you threw out this article.
Yeah, it's, well, I mean, I didn't read The Secret Service. I read it, well, I shouldn't say that. I read a few issues and I was like, meh. It wasn't for me. Tony, what else popped up in your news feed this week?
Well, something that you've been going on and on about Captain Marvel and who you think should be the new Captain Marvel.
And you know that you got to agree, my pick is actually pretty damn good, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think some
hot chick.
She is good looking. My pick to play Captain Marvel would be AJ Cook from Criminal Minds. She plays JJ on the show.
You and your CBS television.
It's actually mostly because they run like 3 or 4 episodes in a row on Ion, and I don't have cable, but yet I get Ion.
You know who my pick would be? Katie Sackhoff.
Wow. Well, that amazingly enough, that's who is.
No way! Rumored. Oh my gosh,
that's so weird that you knew that. Oh my gosh,
maybe I started that rumor.
Well, she is interested in playing it, and it has been, you know, it's been rumored for a while, and actually. We were chatting briefly with, I'm blanking, chatting on Twitter with Kelly Sue DeConnick, who's been writing Captain Marvel, about who she would, you know, like to see. And that was actually somebody that she listed, although she did say, like, in this, not in this article that we saw, but she said on Twitter that her ideal pick would have been a very young Kathleen Turner.
Dude, Kathleen Turner's hot.
Yeah. Well, at least she was. I haven't seen her in like 20 years.
Yeah. But okay, what? Now, are they actually making a full-fledged Captain Marvel movie?
No, but it's been rumored, though, that Captain Marvel was going to be showing up in Avengers 2.
And it's been rumored that they're going to make a Voltron movie, but I still haven't seen that happen, so.
Well, rumors are rumors. Man. I don't know. Maybe Simon Pegg could play Captain Marvel. But yeah, that was kind of interesting. The one other thing that I thought was cool is that Katie actually also said that she would like to play Harley Quinn. You know, given the opportunity, she would like to play Captain Marvel or Harley Quinn. She's not saying that anybody's really approached her.
I'd like to play Harley Quinn.
On the video game?
Yes.
All right.
Have you checked out the RoboCop trailer?
Yeah. Of course
that,
I did.
That made me want to actually watch it now. I lost all faith with the black armored type looking RoboCop, but they have the old silver looking metal.
And RoboCop. Sam Jackson's in that too, because
and that was actually that was the biggest surprise for me, because I didn't read too much about RoboCop other than going to Omnicorp.com, which is kind of like the
viral marketing.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Trask website.
Yeah.
But, that was a great surprise for me.
Bigger surprise was Michael Keaton, I thought.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Sam Jackson's in everything, so
God damn it, when's the last time you seen Michael Keaton in a movie?
Exactly.
Multiplicity?
Yeah.
Batman Returns?
No, Multiplicity.
Multiplicity.
Yeah.
I think the trailer was a good broad trailer to get the masses in, but it didn't really, other than how the trailer ended, I don't think it really gave much for the big fans of RoboCop and what they really enjoyed about that movie.
I don't know, they did do the dead or alive, you're coming with
me. Yeah, that's it. And honestly, that's really all I really need to hear from the original movie in terms of lines. But I just want that. I want the same like goofy satire that was really good in that first movie. If they can really give me some of that in this new movie, I'll be excited to see it. I'm gonna see it.
Oh yeah.
I haven't been to an opening night in a long time. I'll probably do opening night for this. Bitch.
I think that's one that would be worth going to opening night because it's not going to be like other fanboy movies where it's loud and rowdy in there.
No. Oh, God, no.
Yeah. Other movie news that I came across is that they're making a World of Warcraft movie.
Haven't they been talking about this shit for, like, years?
How
many expansion packs have there been?
I don't know.
Right now, like, 5, I think. Something of Pandora.
This
is, like, the last one.
What I heard is that they're supposed to start shooting in January. So, I mean, if they've gotten to that point, that means that they probably got their cast, they're getting their crew.
All right. Have you guys actually enjoyed any video game movie? Any?
Super Mario Brothers.
Double Dragon. Street Fighter.
Fuck you.
Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Yeah.
That was way better than the first Mortal Kombat.
I was going to say, the first one was actually kind of good.
Okay, so you have lots of movies that you enjoy drinking and making fun of.
Tomb Raider.
2.
That was a better one. Because she didn't talk as much. No, I don't know.
No, I mean, someone's going to eventually make a good game movie. But I don't think it's going to be. Did they say if Uwe Boll's going to be doing this movie yet?
No. I don't know. I don't see. And then I'm going to quit after this. I don't see how you're going to make a movie and call it World of Warcraft when the main characters are you. There isn't like there isn't a storyline preset. But
there's maybe some giant mission at Mount Midoriyama.
All right, well, Derek, well, it's been a pleasure, man. Have a good night.
All right, we'll see ya.
Yeah, you're done. Yeah. So, see ya. Get out of here. Mic's off.
Bye, Derek.
All right, Tony, what do you want to talk about now?
All right, let's take an online course of The Walking Dead.
Can I come back in the room?
Yes, you can come back.
University of California, Irvine is teaming up with educational tech company Instructure to look at, you know, some of the thoughts and philosophies through the lens of The Walking Dead. I think it seems like it could be a fun thing to do, and it's free.
Yeah, well, assuming you have cable, it's free. I mean, they're excluding all those people like me who are too cheap to pay for cable. I think they should pay for my cable so I can take this course.
Maybe it's talking about the comic books. You got all the comic books.
No, actually, it's
the
it's,
show follows straight up the comic books.
Yeah, it sure does. No, it's not referencing the comics at all from what I read.
Well, that's kind of lame. It'd be cool if they did that. Well,
why wouldn't you?
Because I think there's a lot more people that watch the show.
Absolutely. But to ignore, and they probably won't, but to ignore the material that the show is based off of is kind of silly.
Well, see, here's what I saw, and it was on Forbes, and I'm going to quote here, is that the class starts Monday, October 14th, the day after the new season premieres. Each class will use plot points from the previous night's episode and clips from older episodes to enhance the lesson. The course will cover topics like how humans prioritize needs in a catastrophe, the role of public health in a pandemic, and the science of hope. But it at no point do they ever talk about the comic book.
What? Science of hope? What, is there a robot in the show now?
The science of hope. You know, how hope is scientific. Okay. Especially in icy France. Other Walking Dead news is that they're actually going to be doing some midnight release parties, or at least people are trying to do midnight release
in
parties.
In cool cities only?
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if my comic shop does one.
No. Okay, well, then I retract my statement about cool cities then.
No, you're correct. No, it's I was just surprised because, I mean, you see the Marvel release parties and you see DC release parties, but this is the first Image release party that I've heard about because I don't think they did one for issue 100. Did you know of one?
Yeah, you didn't get invited?
Oh. Dude, Tony, wasn't that awesome, man?
I know, man.
I know, fucking, we were just rocking it out, man. Party, pizza party.
You and McFarlane, Whedon, and Downey Jr., you know.
Yeah, man, I mean, shit, I didn't know you knew they were all there.
Well, fuck. I saw the pictures on Facebook.
We tried to get you in, man. They did not want you to come.
Yeah, but I don't know, it's, I'm guessing probably there's going to be special, you know, special variant covers that are only available if you do the release
only
party.
Available at 12:01 a.m.
Yeah, or eBay. So that was kind of cool. Let's see what else. Evel Knievel is coming to comic books.
Yeah. So did you guys read this article?
Did
you just skim it?
Skimmed it.
Okay. So I read this whole article. And it's a pretty lengthy article. Thanks, Comic Book Resources.
which actually they got, I think, from the Boom, almost directly from the Boom
Studios.
Yeah,
yeah. Most of this stuff is just from press releases.
Was it Boom?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, Blue Water Productions, sorry.
Yeah. But fuck, dude. It was honestly like two-thirds of this article was about Evel Knievel himself. Like, yeah, if you didn't know Evel Knievel, then here's his whole biopic on this article. There's not much content about the comic itself, other than he's going to be facing snakes.
Snakes are scary,
especially if you're riding a motorcycle.
Yeah,
I get scared and go ooh and fall off my bike.
What if they got caught in your spokes? You know, I mean that could really hurt.
Then the bones would leave some sort of the baseball card in the spokes effect.
Or if their tongue just got in it, it'd just go. Tony, what else you got for news?
You guys interested in Evel Knievel comics?
Not really. But if I was 5 years old again, I would be.
I'd be interested to see how they're going to draw it. So. Is it gonna be kid like? Is it gonna be badassery?
Tony, tease me with something.
Well, there is some chick who owes her father more than anything. This man pretty much paid for her wedding by selling his rare Spider-Man number one.
Yeah, that I gotta admit, that's pretty cool. Like this article, I did read the whole thing. I got it from. Was it the Metro? Yeah, out of the UK. And I think the guy he was from Ohio, which I think was interesting. I'm reading about an article about Ohio from a UK source. But the guy sold his Amazing Spider-Man number one. From what I understand, he'd been collecting comics up until the time his daughter was born. And then, you know, you got a baby, and so now you don't have as much money.
No, you don't. And
you don't have nearly the time to read all of it. And so he just stored everything. But he's got, like, Daredevil number one. He's got a bunch of other stuff, and this book was graded at like a 6.5 out of 10. So I mean, decent.
Not bad.
No, but I thought that was pretty damn cool that he sold that book for his daughter.
I'm sure he's gonna hold that over her head. Like, don't forget, this was paid for by Spider-Man.
Yeah. But I guess he'd sold some books before to get like a roof or something like that on the house, and he's just gonna sell a few off here and there. As he needs. And
he
I think that's
smart
neat.
With his collection.
Damn, it sounds like he needs a fucking better job.
or his daughter does, so he doesn't have to sell his fucking comics for a wedding. Okay, it's been a while since we've had any Marvel teasers, and we talked about the Is He teaser that came out a week ago.
Didn't we have one like last month?
Last week.
What was the one last week?
Is He.
He just said that. Last week we talked about the teaser trailer, Is He.
I thought you had something else to say.
No, that's it. It just says, Is He? ... question mark. And then underneath it says, Be Vigilant. This week there were two more that came out. There's one that says, Are They? And then underneath it says, See Something, Say Something. And then the last one that came out is the one that says, Are We? And underneath it says, Get Tested Today. Now, the rumors...
Then you're forgetting, are those... Are you...
Still talking? Yeah. Seems like the collective idea here, because of kind of the smoky, like, colors that are floating around the background, is that might have something to do with the Tarragon mists, you know, and that people are being infected by them, which I don't know a lot about that, but the Tarragon mists are, is that what created the Inhumans?
No, the Inhumans were always, but that's what gave them their powers. You can be an Inhuman, but not go and get Terragenesis and then get crazy powers. So,
Lockjaw, Medusa, yeah, those characters, right?
Yep.
Oh, that's all you need to know is Lockjaw. That's what I learned from you last time I saw you. So, they're saying that, like, I think September 18th, so a couple weeks from now, is when the news is going to be revealed.
Oh, I think I say in a couple weeks.
Dude, it'd be awesome if they talk about an Inhumans movie. That'd be badass.
I doubt that's probably it.
I know, but there's hope. I learned that from the Walking Dead course.
Yeah. Yeah. The science of it, really. DC News, the writers from Batwoman have left, basically saying that it was J.H. Williams and W. Hayden Blackman said that they were exiting DC in December. The big thing that everybody's grabbing onto is because they're saying that they left because DC's saying that they are not allowing the wedding of Batwoman and her secret identity to her fiancé, who is also a woman. That is part of it, from what I've heard, but I heard that there's actually more to it.
It sounds like DC, people running DC are a bunch of communists. That's what I'm gathering.
Red Scare, man. Red Scare.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, what I heard, though, is that there was, basically the writers had all the stuff planned out for long periods of time, and then, and it's not just that it's other things about the characters.
Then the executives finally picked up an issue and go, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah. And they're basically just saying, no, you can't do this. No, we don't want you to do that. The argument that I've heard on DC's side for the no on the marriage is that, basically, since they started the New 52, they really aren't bringing any people back together into marriages yet. They kind of want to run with the bachelor, the swinging bachelor type thing for a while. You can still be in relationships.
Yeah, I'd say there's definitely some relationships going on.
Oh, yeah. Well, and one good point that I saw is that when people get married in comic books, readers tend to think of them as older. And if you're trying to attract perhaps some younger readers, say teens, early 20s, when they see people married, they don't connect with them as well. I'm not saying it's right or wrong.
It's sound logic.
Yeah. Why not draw out, and I guess, you know, in defense, I'm not saying that they shouldn't be allowed to get married in the comics, because I think that would be a great thing at one point. But shit, it's been less than a year, hasn't it, since they got engaged?
Yeah, see, you want to avoid the marriage, because really, like, think about it, like, with television, there's the pursuit, and then they get together, and then after they're married, then what?
Yeah.
Then what? Kids?
Then they're Al Bundy, working at a shoe shop.
Well, and that's a totally different storyline, so... I don't know. I'm totally in favor, though, of the writers leaving when they had shit planned out, and then the editors come down and say, nope, we want you to do this instead. If you're not going to let them have some kind of creative control when they're presenting that stuff to you, why do you have fucking writers? Why don't you write it yourself and tell people this is the story you're writing? Yeah. So, I mean, I
definitely see both sides.
Last bit of news I got, Kevin, sorry to break it to you, but...
God damn it, man. Why are you killing my buzzes already?
Yeah. DC is apparently looking for new artists, and they've not chosen you.
Fuck.
Yeah. The cool thing, if you go to dccomics.com and look up...
Fuck.
Look up on there.
God damn it.
Kevin's leaving. Look up Break Into Comics with Harley Quinn. There's a thing on there where you can do a 4-panel... little sample of how you would draw Harley, and if they like what you're doing, then maybe you could go work there.
Okay,
I mean, you won't be working with those two writers that left. But I thought that was kind of neat.
Jerks.
Yeah. Well, I know your stick figures of Harley were quite nice.
I try so hard.
Yeah. That's everything I had for news this week.
Good news this week.
So, let's go into Best on Tap.
Best on Tap? Okay, I'm calling dibs this week on Best on Tap.
Why? Oh, fine. Fuck you. We didn't vote, but...
Yeah, well, I didn't get to vote. Like, last week I got outvoted
fine,
on something.
Whatever. Did all the special edition evil villains from DC get disqualified?
Well, we'll discuss that in a moment, actually.
Oh, okay. Sure.
But I picked DC Universe versus Masters of the Universe.
Holy shit, that's what I was going to pick. So
really?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, because I love, like, the Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman.
No, I have, like, He-Man and Man-at-Arms and... What fucking cover do you have?
No, I have the good cover.
No, I have the good cover.
No.
Yeah, He-Man's better than that.
Well, wait, what if we put them together?
With our covers combined.
We are...
Gay. Thanks. Come on.
We are Best on Tap.
Yeah. Yeah, so we went for the the double cover put together.
And it was actually randomly weird that he did pick up that cover. I picked up this cover.
Oh, so you guys didn't get on the phone and go, I'm going to get the left one. No, I'm going to get the right one.
We actually did not.
You did not coordinate outfits.
I didn't even know that he was buying that book.
Yeah, and then later on at his house, I go, did you pick this up? He goes, yeah. I go, what cover did you get? He goes, DC one? Why? I was like, holy shit, I got the He-Man one. This is kind of cool.
So now we can put them together.
Yeah.
By our powers combined, I have the power.
Dude, you just like
to touch. I have Best on Tap.
You guys just like to touch your
but stuff. Mine's cooler than yours.
Yeah. Well, yours is all wrinkly and, you know.
Pew, not... pew, pew.
Well, you can't go pew, pew. Mine gets to go pew, pew.
No, yeah. Yours it goes zzzz from his laser.
Well, what about Green Lantern?
Yeah, look at Man-at-Arms got his guns. Pew, pew.
Yeah, well, his gun's on my cover, so my cover still goes pew, pew. yeah, and by the way, if you guys want to display your cover or covers, go to comicbooksdisplays.com. You can order some awesome covers.
Just to let people know, Ed Benes did this awesome two-cover thing. So.
Sweet. All right, well, we need to go on to Indie Turnpike, which is brought to you by inter-comics.com. Go check them out. Order your stuff on online. They'll ship them to your house. And they're based out of the UK, but they ship worldwide. Awesome prices. Inter-comics.com. Tony, what did you read for Indie Turnpike this week?
Oh, fuck. I forgot I was going to do this.
Really?
Actually, oh, quick. Yeah. Quick. What in my comics looks to sound really good this week?
No, well...
That's what it looked like you were doing. Like, oh, shit.
Well, I was like, where did I put that?
This one looks good.
Actually, that is the one.
Yeah, I know. I saw that this is the one he was reaching for.
No, it is God is Dead by Jonathan Hickman.
Damn it, I wanted to pick this up.
This was phenomenal.
My comic book store sucks.
Yeah.
Can I talk about this then, Kevin?
No,
will
I'm going to...
spoil anything for you?
I'm just going
to read it right
we're
now.
We're going to sit here while Kevin reads it and wait. Everybody be quiet.
Yeah. Shh.
This book was just badass. It just starts off with terrible things happening and all around the world, and you're kind of like, man, shit's fucked up. And then you see Zeus going, at St. Peter's Basilica in Vatican City, and he just decides to sit on his throne, and he's like, I've had enough of this bullshit. Zeus has returned. I will be worshipped again. And you start just seeing how all these different pantheons have come about to Earth. They haven't really said what they're doing, why they're doing it, but people have become in a religious fervor of worshiping them, while you also have some people that are kind of like, not too sure about, you know, this guy or that guy, and maybe more shit's going to be, you know, happening besides their, you know, raining day coming down of blood and pestilence. You know, so you kind of follow the story of these couple nerd scientists. Of course, you got a Stephen Hawking's guy in a wheelchair that talks to his computer.
Oh,
you have Albert Einstein.
How are you, leader?
You have an Albert Einstein looking guy, and
which, by the way, Why does every comic have to have a guy that looks like Albert Einstein or Albert Einstein himself now?
Because he's cool.
Does he have his tongue hanging out?
No, he's right there. So no, he doesn't have his tongue.
So looks like him.
Oh, Albert Einstein is. Albert Einstein was in my.
He's hot.
Yeah, he was. He was in. What was the Dawn book that I?
Was it Dawn?
Fearless Dawn. Fearless Dawn that I did for Indie Term.
Really? He was in that?
Yeah, there was a guy that looked like him in there, too. He's a scientist, shockingly enough.
Yeah, you draw him and everyone will know, oh, he's the scientist.
Yeah.
So, just to get back to the story, there,
Kevin was looking at the new pictures earlier.
I was already looking at that.
Yeah.
You kind of get the sense of, it seems like Odin is going to, you know, maybe invite some guests over, some other gods over. And to me, I at least thought that it seemed like he was going to maybe, you know, kill them at dinner. You know, kind of be the one to take over Earth. What you find out is, no, they're planning on what they're going to do with Earth when they go and pillage it and take it for their own. And it's just like the gods versus humans. This is awesome.
It's going to be a really fun series.
Yeah, and it's one of those things of how do you fight a god? I'm really more curious on what these scientist people are going to come up with. You have all these religious nut jobs who are getting anyone who doesn't believe in the gods, calling them blasphemers and everything like that. You have other religions fighting each other. There's just so much in this that even if you aren't a really religious person, just the writing and the story, just phenomenal. Just use your imagination. And the art,
Awesome. Jonathan Hickman wrote this.
Yeah, along with Mike Costa, sorry.
Yep.
And art by Dee Amorim.
Yep.
And Jonathan Hickman actually did a cover, but he just did a cover that had words and like a lotus blossom, so I wouldn't really consider that art.
Which cover did you get?
I got the cool cover with Zeus with you know, lightning bolts from his eyes and fireballs from his arse.
And see who did that cover? That was the Jason Burroughs cover. So, yeah, actually that's the same cover I get. So we can't put them together because it won't make anything.
No.
But yeah, that was a really good book.
Well, why don't you try to put them together? See what happens. Well,
I'm afraid to put Zeus up against Zeus. Although I always said if I ever had twin boys, I wanted to name like one Zeus. And one Zeus and one Thor, and then make them fight and find out who the real God of Thunder was. All right, cool. That was Inner Comics Indie Turnpike. I got a booze and a book before we wrap things up here. And this week for booze and a book, I paired Short's Noble Chaos with Forever Evil, number one from DC.
Where can you find Short's?
Shorts is it's a Michigan brewery.
Okay.
And I know you can find it all throughout Michigan and actually in some of the states surrounding, and they're slowly branching out there.
Okay.
But it's probably my favorite brewery out of all of them. And Noble Chaos is actually their Oktoberfest. It has a 5.5% alcohol by volume. And I'm pairing these two together not because they're both a little dark, but I find that the story in Forever Evil has a little nobility in their chaos as well. The book and the beer are incredibly well balanced, and after one of each, I wanted more. So go check out Forever Evil, and if you can get your hands on some Noble Chaos, get that as well. That's booze in a book.
Yeah, I definitely look forward to getting my hands on more Forever Evil.
Mm-hmm. Which kind of leads us into Last Call, which Tony and I both needed weight belts leaving the fucking comic store this week.
Yeah, I got, I think, 26 different books.
I ended up at, I think, 22. Yeah, it was, and I think this is the first week that we've been doing, since we've been doing this, that you bought more books than I have.
I spent
a large sum.
Yes.
Yeah, even with our awesome discount. I
had to sell my kidney.
Nobody'd buy your liver or mine either. we will mention a few of them in here just by title alone, but obviously it was Villains Month at DC.
What? I didn't hear about that. That's Did you pick up some of those?
You picked up all of them, you ass. So,
yeah, that's one thing actually that, pisses me off. This is amazing.
The best part was we're chilling out over at my place. You know,
touching your comic books together.
Well, yeah. I was using gloves. But we're sitting over there, you know, reading comics after going to the shop that day and just chilling out, drinking a beer. And Tony's like, they have one that has, like, all the covers in them? Because, like, he's like, he goes, they didn't have, our shop got short shipped, and, like, three of the books didn't have the 3D covers.
Okay.
And he's like, I just want to see what, and then all of a sudden he's like, motherfucker! And I'm like, what? He goes, there's 52 of these that are going to come out.
And I told myself, regardless of the character, I'm going to buy all these. Because they are actually, I didn't read one where I wasn't intrigued. Even a couple of them where I was like the last page, like all of a sudden made it like, holy shit, that was awesome. I'm glad I read it. Because a lot of them are one shots. A lot of them are going to continue off into their own title or the titles that they're replacing.
So Tony, why don't you rip off all of yours that you got there in your pile that need a shout out on Last Call?
Well, I'm just going to say all the DC titles. I mean, pick them up. I mean, do you want me to actually?
Yeah, give them a little credit. We got Creeper.
We got
Bizarro.
Yep.
We got Joker.
Yep.
We got Two-Face.
We got Cyborg Superman.
We got Poison Ivy. We got Relic.
Tony, you're really far from your microphone, so I don't know if people can hear you.
Shit, yeah, that's right. We got Count Vertigo. We got Grood, who is a giant ape guy that I guess fights.
Is it Grood or Grodd?
Whatever, something or other. He's an ape guy.
It's Grodd.
Grodd, okay. But he was actually interesting, too. It was kind of like Planet of the Apes, but with the Flash version. Who is it? Desaad.
Yep, Desaad. Well, did you get the Count Vertigo one?
Yeah, I got all of them, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I already said that one.
Ventriloquist.
Who's it? A Deadshot and a Darkseid.
Darkseid? Yeah. Yep. Dude, I don't know how I missed the Deadshot. I'm going to borrow that one from you because I'm curious about him. Other good books this week. Kevin, I don't know if you had any because I know that your store sucks. But Superior Foes of Spider-Man, Deathmatch from Boom Studios.
Oh, shit, forgot Cyborg Superman.
No, I said that one.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Never mind.
The Star Wars, starring George Lucas in George Lucas's original draft.
X-Men.
Really? Let me see this.
Well, yeah, just open it up and look at the... It's on the cover, but it's even more obviously George Lucas inside.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, good book. It's just I can't get over the fact that it's George Lucas starring in a George Lucas production. I don't know. That's just kind of me. Trillium number 2 came out. That
Superior was your Spider-Man.
Yeah, that one was good. Tony, what else do we have in here?
Spider-Man.
Oh, Hit number 1 of 4 from Boom Studios, written by Bryce Carlson. That was a really good one.
All new X-Men and X-Men for the beginning of this Battle of the Atom, which was really good.
Yeah, X-Men Battle of the Atom. That was actually what I originally wanted to talk about until I read the Tart book, and I had to completely change up what I was going to review.
All right, so, and that was everything that was released this week, brought to you by Drunken Comics.
Very much so. I think we picked up almost every single...
No, I got the... I got.
Is there anything that you read, Kevin, that we didn't mention?
Because I downloaded it. The Mocking Dead. The Mocking Dead #1.
Oh, digital
exclusive version.
Yeah.
Yeah, I read that. That was pretty good.
One other book was Absolution Rubicon #3. That is still a fucking great story. Really brutal. Yep. By the way,
my brother picked up Avengers AI and Infinity #2, so I read those.
What about
this morning.
Uber? That came out this week.
Maybe I didn't steal. I went over to his house and stole these, so I didn't see that one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so heavy week, and Tony, I can't wait to see what you pick up from DC next week. You got another 13 books of DC coming next week.
I know. It's
and the week following. and the week following.
And plus the Forever Evils.
Yep.
So, and plus they have like a Rogues Supreme Gallery something or other offshoot as well.
Plus like, all your other normal titles.
Yeah, man. I am.
You're going to be broke as fuck by the end of this next month.
I'm going to start trying to give plasma.
Well, you know, if they just need blood and semen, give them your underpants. You're good. both of those.
One thing, listeners, check out later this week. We are going to have a special podcast talking just about the villains because there were just so many of them that we decided before this show we weren't just going to talk about them now. We're just do a whole separate segment and throw it up on the web later on. So
probably hit Wednesday.
Yeah, so check that one out as well.
Next week, regular edition podcast, but then like in a week and a half, we're also going to have a super special sit-down with three young ladies who are also attorneys talking about
sexual harassment.
That's after the recording's over.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about legal things in the comic world, both in the real world of comics as well as the world inside comics. So that'll be fun to talk about.
The way you're positioning your hands, you make it almost sound spooky.
It is spooky.
We're going to talk about real-world instances. Woo.
Well, no, I did the hand thing when I was talking about the world.
That's what you sounded like in my mind.
Out of my head.
Not going to lie, Kevin, spot on with what you were just doing. So.
Well, yeah, but it was my only argument is I wasn't doing that for the real world as much as I was for the world inside of comics. Fuck you guys. I'm going home. All right. Check us out on Twitter. Check us out on Facebook. And I think that's about it.
Yep. Website? We got a website?
Oh, yeah. We do have a website. DrunkOnComics.com. But Facebook and Twitter, just look up Drunk on Comics. And there's reviews. There's some Dingleberries of Dorkdom on there.
Shut the fuck up, dude. Keep reading your comic books.
We'll be back next week to talk to you about them then.
Ciao.
Ha ha ha!